Ladies and gentlemen, we have a couple of minutes for some questions and answers. Kyle is here in the straw hat. Mary is down here to the left with another microphone. Any questions of Jack or Bud?
Are we going to talk about the Culver?
No, we did.
We did?
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
What did I use it for?
You tested.
Hello. Okay.
Go.
I saw an interview years ago where they interviewed, what's his name? A fighter pilot, Robin Olds. They interviewed Robin Olds about World War II, and they said, tell us the most fun you ever had. And he said it was strafing down on the deck in Germany and blowing up trains. And he described it that he was filled with joy when he blew up a train. Just tell us something that filled you with joy, or your favorite moment in a P-51.
When I blew up 109s or 190s.
Ever encounter a 262?
Yes. Oh, my 262 story. 262s came in about summer of 1944, I think. Don't hold me to that figure, but we started to see them, and we knew that they had a tremendous advantage in speed. You know, they were fast. They were more than 100 knots faster than we were. And but we learned very quickly that if they tried to dogfight, we could eat them up. We could just turn inside of them and be right on their tail if they tried to do that. But if they came in and made a pass at you, all you could do was turn into them, and they'd go on by and go on out and turn around and then come back at you. Nothing you can do but go head on with them, and that's no fun, you know. 20 millimeters or 30 millimeters against 50 calibers, you know, that's like a gun and a knife. Our group shot down 17 or 19 of them. Most of them were got in the traffic pattern. We knew where their airfields were, and you could go over there and hang out and catch them taking off or landing. And my 262 story, I'm sorry for being so lengthy, but I have to do this. I was flying. We were well in Germany. We still had our big drop tanks on, but I had plenty of fuel. And I see out there below us, and 90 degrees to us, we're going here, and this guy's coming here, that big smoke trail coming, and he's about 10,000 feet underneath us. It looked like he was going through there, and maybe he was going to try to make us drop our tanks, but it doesn't matter. And I told my flight, now here's what we're going to do. At the very right moment, full throttle, full RPM, drop your tanks, roll over on your back, and I'll be going upside down this way while he's coming here, and then I'm going to roll out right here and shoot him down, of course. And so I pull up, full RPM, drop the tanks, roll it over my back, and the engine quit. I screwed up. I'd forgot to go to internal fuel. I was a little bit excited. And the prop ran away, you know, when you cut it off at that high RPM and high manifold pressure. And then I got back on. There was a big surge of the propeller, and it went over 3,000 RPM. I pulled the throttle back, got it all under control and going down like this, and I think I can still pull it off. And so I dive down, roll out of there, and pull my nose up and put the pipper, the aim point on your gun sight, put right on him. And I thought, oh, I'm closing on him because I dived so long, and he just disappeared behind that little spot of light. That's my 262 story.
Ladies and gentlemen, Colonel Bud Anderson and Jack Roush. And now, Sam Bass is with Bill Fear to talk about the Aracobra, and then Jack Roush is going to be with Sam to talk about Old Crow.
Good afternoon, folks. Bill Fear here is with the what we used to call the Confederate Air Force, and now it's the Commemorative Air Force. And Bill is a 22-year veteran of the Air Force. He's a retired Delta pilot. He flew the B-52 and the B-1 bomber. And so what we'd like to do and introduce Jack here in just a little bit, is that all right, Jack? Everybody knows who you are anyway, so we don't need to do that. Tell us a little bit about this airplane. This is an unusual airplane, as Bud has already talked about, but just give us a little bit of the specifications on it.
Well, it's a P-39Q. This particular airplane was born on the 11th of July, 1943, Buffalo, New York, made by the Bell Aircraft Corporation. And they were tasked to design an airplane that was going to get that cannon, that 37-millimeter cannon produced by Oldsmobile, into the fight. And this is the design they came up with. The peculiar part of it is obviously that the engine's located behind the cockpit, long drive shaft about 10 feet long, comes up to a set of gears, the largest of which is hollow in the center, and the cannon barrel goes right through the middle of that big gear. And it would carry 30 rounds of 37-millimeter, and then 1,000 rounds of the 50 caliber in the machine for the machine guns up in the nose.
Okay, what engine does it have?
It has an Allison V12, 1710-85, and it's 1,200 horsepower, cruise around 200, 210 miles an hour. And back in the day when you could get gas that was of high enough octane, you'd get about 40, 45 miles to the gallon, or 45 gallons per hour.
So what range do you fly? When you fly, what kind of range do you figure before you got to refuel?
Oh, right now I'm only going about 250 nautical miles, but that I'm old.
You're ready to get out of it anyway.
I need to use the bathroom every hour and 15 yeah. minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, now, is there any particular problems with having this long prop shaft on it?
There never was. In all my reading, I could never find any complaints about that drive shaft other than this configuration causes some vibration. There was a fellow going through our hangar in San Marcos, Texas, the home of the Central Texas Wing, and he talked about his father having been an instructor in it. And they knew when a young guy was getting checked out in it, because it was not uncommon for him shortly after engine start to shut it down and get out. And he said, this thing is vibrating so bad, I'm getting bubbles in my whiskey compass. What's the deal? Well, all he had to do is push it up a little bit, get it about 800 turns to 1,000, and everything smooths out and everything is right with the world. But it just showed that he was a novice to it.
Well, now I understand that this is altitude limited. Why didn't they put a turbocharger on it?
Well, they experimented with one, but it caused a reduction in range because of the extra scoops they had to put out the side. And so they were also in need of cash flow to keep Bell going. So they got a contract to produce it as it was with a low altitude blower, which made it only effective up to about 15,000 feet, which is one of the reasons that we only had one single ace in the Army Air Corps flying the P-39. His name was Lieutenant William Fiedler, and he accomplished that feat in the South Pacific by shooting down 3 zeros in 2 vowels. An amazing accomplishment, being the only one to do it in the P-39. Unfortunately, 2 weeks after he completed that event, he was sitting in a P-39 in the run-up area getting ready to take off, and a P-38, experiencing mechanical difficulties, landed on top of him. So no big fan club for the P-39 in the U.S.
So now this was the first nose-wheel fighter of the Second World War?
First single-seat nose-wheel fighter, exactly. And it was in production well before we entered the war. In the late 30s, they were already producing them. And We produced about 9,500 of them. We gave 4,500 of them to the Russians, who were very, very successful with them. The women air service pilots would pick them up in Buffalo, regardless of what the weather was, fly them to Montana, and then some males would hop in there and fly them up to Alaska, and then some female Russian pilots would pick them up and fly them across to Russia.
How about this particular paint scheme on this airplane?
Well, this commemorates the Lieutenant Fiedler. This was his squadron of 68th, and this was their nose art, the skull and crossbones. And then we had the pleasure of having a member of our unit, Sandy Sansing, who was a P-51 pilot in World War II, got shot down, spent some time in a barn in France until the Allied forces could get to him, and his wife's name was Connie.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a beautiful airplane, and I'm sure you feel lucky to be able to fly it.
Well, I do, and I thank all the men and women of the Commemorative Air Force, 13,000 strong, and in particular the 140 members of the Central Texas Wing who work tirelessly to maintain this and the other five airplanes we have in our hangar. Thank you very much, Sam.
Thank you. You got a mic. Oh, you got a mic. Let me give this to somebody.
Testing, testing.